know the will of God? How can I know the will of God? Have any of you ever asked that question yourself? How can I know the will of God? A well-known pastor that I like to read says, the reason why more Christians don't know the will of God is because they don't have a friendship with Holy Spirit. So that is why the discipleship that we've been going through about Holy Spirit is so intense and so real, and so Holy Spirit is so real to you that that question will become something that you don't need to ask any longer. What is the will of God for my life? So he says that it's because we don't have a friendship with Holy Spirit. Meaning this, the one inside of us whose job is to reveal truth to us. Amen? Holy Spirit. So if this is true, if this is true what I'm saying, then I must once again remind you that you, each one of you this morning, have someone, with a capital S, living inside you who knows the will of God. Okay? You have someone, if you have made a confession of faith, if you have made a confession of faith and you are a born-again believer, and you have Jesus living in your life, if you've recognized that, then you have someone, Holy Spirit, that is living inside of you this morning. Okay? Now, for me telling you this, I'm getting goose pimples because it's intense. It's like, how do you fathom this? Holy Spirit, who knows the perfect will of the Father, lives inside of me to intercede for the Father for me so that I would have the mind of the Father so that I could demonstrate it in my life with the fruit of the Spirit through my life. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And if we want to get to know the will of God, you have to get to know Holy Spirit, right? And I think that sometimes people don't want to know Holy Spirit because, like I said, we have made the Holy Spirit to be weird. So people come in and they're weirded out by our behavior. We shouldn't do this. We should honor Holy Spirit. We always say we do this to an audience of one in this house. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Amen? So if you want to get to know the will of God for your life, get to know Holy Spirit. And as we've been exploring a friendship with Holy Spirit as possible, because Holy Spirit is a person. And of course, he is God. We know that. But we have seen that the respective members of the Trinity each have attributes of a soul. The Holy Spirit has a soul, and having a soul means that they possess things. They possess a mind. They possess a will. They possess emotions. And if I didn't know my wife's mind and her will and her emotions, our marriage wouldn't be as strong as it is. If I didn't know these things about you, our friendships wouldn't be as strong as they are. Poor Richard this morning walked in the church. And I said to them, is this your first time here? And then I turned to Nicole. I said, it's so nice of you to bring your father here with you this morning. You know, so. But 5 minutes before that, I was very nice to him. So let's go a little bit deeper into the scripture that helps us see that the Spirit has a mind, a will, and an emotion. Are you enjoying this stuff, by the way? The elements of his soul. Okay, so it's like, you know, you can sensationalize this and you can do all this stuff. But sometimes, you know, you need some teaching. You know, you need to know who Holy Spirit is. You know, it's Holy Spirit cried, you know. Anyways, in Isaiah chapter 55, 8 and 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Why would God say my thoughts are not your thoughts, even if he doesn't have thoughts? How can he have thoughts if he doesn't have a mind? Right? God indeed does have a mind, and he thinks about you and your situation. So wouldn't you think And wouldn't you like to know what his thoughts are? How many of you would like to know the thoughts of God? How does God think? What is God thinking? How would you like to know the thoughts of God? Amen? Amen. Well, we've already seen that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into all truth. And it only makes sense that if the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, that he must know all truth. Right? He must know all truth. He is all-knowing. The bottom line is that God, the Holy Spirit, possesses all knowledge. All knowledge. This is mind-boggling for me. Okay? I have someone who lives inside of me who knows all things, who knows all truth. And as I submit my life and my feeling and my will and my heart to this something with a capital S, Holy Spirit, I start to get revelation of who God the Father is and how he thinks. This is crazy. Did you know what Albert Einstein's IQ was? Anyone? How much? 209. What's Amy's? 160? Okay, so she's Menzies, his daughter, and she's like 155, 160. Einstein's was 209. You know, just one more than me. That is... I resemble that remark. What? You don't think I'm capable of having an IQ of 208? Or 210. So let me ask you something, what you think God's IQ is. You think you're so smart, laughing at me? Okay, here's a question for you. What's God's IQ? Okay. Well, before you venture to guess, let me tell you that he does not have an IQ. Right? God's intelligence cannot be calculated. And nothing exists that we know of that can compare. It's just immeasurable. For example, God is incapable of thinking of something he never thought of before. I know I'm messing with your heads this morning. It's too early. I haven't had a coffee yet. God is incapable. What did I say? God is incapable of thinking of. Yeah, thinking of something. Thank you. Of thinking, yeah, that's it. If he could, he might learn something. But God knows everything already, so he has nothing to learn. Right? He has nothing to learn. It's good, isn't it? Thank you. God's not like us. He doesn't slap his hand on his forehead and say, oh, do I know what I just said? Do you want to know what I just thought of? Oh, man, because he knows everything all at once at all times. That's our God. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. So now why is this so amazing for you this morning? Why is this so amazing for me this morning that we would know this? I did not come here this morning to bore you with more information and statistics. I came here this morning to encourage you. But I also came here to challenge you this morning. So amazing this news is, you have Holy Spirit living within you. And as God, he has the same level of wisdom and knowledge. The Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. And he has committed himself to be your teacher. When I was in school, I don't know if it's still like this today, and I don't know what it's like in university, but we would call our teacher sir or miss. Amen? Sir. Holy Spirit. Sir. Holy Spirit. You know what? I love watching the national anthem in the United States because they put their hand over their heart because they're so patriotic. Man, when we mention, Sir, Holy Spirit, our hands should go over our heart And we should say, thank you that you're our teacher, that you protect this heart every single day, that you guide us and you direct us and you help us to make the right decisions. He promises to lead you in all truth this morning, folks. The one whose job description is to be helper possesses all truth. He knows the answer to every problem you face. Why would you try to answer those problems and do it yourself? He knows the answer to every problem you face. He has access to the mind of God because Holy Spirit has a mind. Amen? In Romans chapter 8, Paul says of the Holy Spirit's role is to intercede for us and to help us when we don't know what to pray for. I read a story of a man. All of a sudden, it's Makash Jandi. He writes books on prayer. I was just reading a couple of pages last night, and he was at home, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of his heart, and he began to pray, and he began to pray, and he began to pray, and he wasn't released from praying for 3 hours, and then he just went downstairs, and out of his mouth came, he said to his daughter, tomorrow I'll take the Jeep, don't take the car. He doesn't know why. Later on that morning, the police came to the door and said, your daughter was in a terrible, terrible accident. Smashed up. The only thing that saved her was the airbags that went off. And he said, thank you, Lord, because if she would have taken the old car didn't have airbags. Okay, that's our Holy Spirit, okay? That's our Holy Spirit. And when we're in tune with Holy Spirit, we see things like that. And we are called to pray. We are called for hours on end to pray for our children, to speak over our children, to speak over our families, to speak over our church, to speak over anybody who Holy Spirit puts upon our heart. And He will reveal a truth to you, something like that, if you are in tune with Him, where all you could do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's our Holy Spirit. Yes. Romans 8 and 27, it says, He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So, dear Gateway family, we have talked about the mind of the Spirit this morning. Amen? And I love knowing what's in your mind. Okay, I'm very, very curious. I love knowing what's in your mind. I love knowing how you think. But I also love knowing your will. And Holy Spirit also has a will, right? He has a will. And that will is in perfect alignment with God the Father. And that's why we have to be in a relationship with Holy Spirit so that our will also will be in perfect alignment with the Father. And when our will isn't in perfect alignment with the Father, we make stupid decisions. We say stupid things that we're sorry for later. Holy Spirit has a will. I have been studying about this and learning for myself personally. But this is so important for all of us. Amen? Amen? It's so important for all of us. You know what grieves me? Is that some of the people who need to be hearing this so that they would grow, they're not on the page. And I pray and I intercede, and what keeps me up hours after hours is some of the prayers I pray over you guys that are pretty consistent here is that are shorter prayers because you're pressing in. But man, as the prayer ministry and as myself individually, boy, are there some people who need to understand this. Because even this very week, some of the things that we have heard break your heart. The level of disappointment that comes over, you know what that is. Some of you carry it in your homes, you carry it in your families, there's a level of disappointment. Just look at Linda and I and just multiply that by I don't know how many times. How much more do we need Holy Spirit? Amen? If you need to know about morality or anything, God's will consists in two realms. One is his general will for your life. Okay? The Bible is the guide to God's general will. And if you need to know about morality, if you need to know about behavior boundaries, the Bible provides a clear direction in all of these things. You don't have to wonder whether it's God's will or not that you shouldn't steal, or to be faithful to your spouse, or to be honoring to your parents. If you need to know about morality or behavior boundary, the Bible is there and it gives clear direction. You don't have to wonder whether it's God or not. But Scripture clearly states God's will in these areas. Amen? We call this the general will because these boundaries are true and they apply to all of us. If you're married, God's general will helps you know and treat your spouse with honor. But his general will not reveal to you whom you should marry in the first place. Right? Show me a scripture that says, John, thou art will marry Pauline. There's no scripture. That's not God's general will. He won't reveal to you in the first place. The question involves God's specific will. You won't find a Bible verse, like I said, that says, behold, John, you will woo and wed Pauline and make her your bride. Okay? We're talking about God's specific will. And that question involves God's specific will. So how can we know God's specific will? Please get this powerful, important truth I'm going to talk about right now. I have to read it because I'm still getting it into my spirit too. We come to know the general will of God by the Word of God. Amen? That is why we're always saying, be in the Word. Be in the Word. What does Linda always say to you? Be in the Word. Be in the Word. Doesn't she always say that to you? Every time she preaches, be in the Word. Be in the Word. Be in the Word. And while we come to know the specific will of God, we do it by His voice. Now remember, Jesus told us that the Helper would be sent. Amen? Are you still following me? Is this easy enough? Because, you know, I work really hard so that I don't make this too complicated, you know? Do you realize how much work it is to make something not complicated? It's easier to just talk and make things complicated, but to make it less complicated, oh my goodness, that's a lot of work. Amen? Yes, that's it. So I still have many things to say to you, but I cannot bear them right now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth, and He will not speak to you on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will tell you of the things to come in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. So what we're hearing here is that the Holy Spirit speaks, right? The Holy Spirit speaks, and He can speak to you. He can speak to you, and He wants to speak to you. I don't think that we appreciate what an incredible privilege this is sometimes. I don't know if we always get it. When the Holy Spirit arrived 2,000 years ago, it was a game-changing event for all of humanity. As Jesus' death and resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit marks a sharp line in history. And nothing has been the same ever since. And so now Peter stands up and he says the Spirit's arrival on the day of Pentecost, from the book of Joel, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old will dream dreams. The prophet Joel had predicted this history-changing event 600 years earlier, and Joel said that the Spirit of God Himself would be poured out on human flesh, and young and old would be able to see visions and dreams and hear from God that only a few Old Testament prophets in the past had done. So now Peter is declaring the arrival of the day when people can hear God for themselves. Amen. Now, isn't that wonderful news? I said earlier that I wanted to encourage you, but I also want to challenge you. You must. In my notes, I wrote the word must, all in capitals, because sometimes I communicate to you kindly. Sometimes I communicate passionately. And sometimes I communicate forcefully. And I put them in all in capitals. Must. Forcefully. You must have your own relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. Wise counsel from others is good. It's not a bad thing. People ask me all the time. You know that people have asked me to hear from God for them? Has anyone ever asked you that? Can you hear from God for me, please? No. Hear from God for me yourself. Like, you know? Like, I may have a word of encouragement for you, but like, you know what? So like, you're too lazy to go and seek God for yourself and you want me to do it for you? Like, what's that all about, folks? You know? You must have your own personal relationship with God, and wise counsel from others is a good thing, but others can hear God with you, but they can't hear God for you. And so the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit so you could have a personal relationship with God the Father. And this is what each of us believers is called to do. Each of you are called to do this. As easy, as hard as it is, you're called to do this. That's what we do. And life's not easy. Life's not easy. I worked hard this week physically. I was sore. And then I got just downloaded with stuff that my spirit was discouraged because I think, no. We've invested so many years into you. Don't make those decisions. No, don't go there. Cry out. And then you turn and you cry out to God. Because God's the only one who can hear that. And this is what each of us believers are called to do. And we have a responsibility to grow in it. And my prayer is that we will do this individually and together as the Gateway family, that we will be in tune with God the Father because of the relationship that we have with Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Like you prayed this morning, and how the presence of God is in the house. As a worship leader, there's been times when you first started, it wasn't as strong as it is now. You came in here this morning, I saw you walking across the garden. You were prepared. You were prepared. Our worship people are prepared so that together we will meet with Holy Spirit together. So God wants to speak to you personally, and he wants you to know his will and his wonderful fellowship. The way to know God, the will of God, is to know God. And the Holy Spirit has a mind and a will. And you can know the thoughts of God yourself if you know him. So, I close on this. Worship team? I learned something. I'm pastoring a long time. Call the worship team. Time to take a glass of water, because if I keep talking, look, you're all looking at them. You're not listening to one thing I'm saying. Oh, you are. Look, front row, teacher's pet. Don't you leave that front row. I mentioned you last week when I was preaching. I said there was a girl in the church I was at. She was right in the front row. And I said to her, whatever her name was, I said, you know, let's say her name was Mary. I said, we have Marys in our church too that are just like you. I said, it's so good. So how many of you would like to be encouraged? How many of you would like to be encouraged on a regular basis? How many of you would like to be challenged? So let me see your hands for encouraged. Put your hand up, Dave Patterson. Okay. How many of you would like to be challenged? Less hands? How many of you this morning need to step it up on the challenge side? Worship team, if you put your hand up, come here, less than 5 minutes, and give that to the Lord. Okay? Because if you put your hand up and you don't come, then you weren't really serious anyways. So why don't you just spend a minute and give that to the Lord? How many of you want to be challenged moving forward?